Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. 10 states are suing the federal government, trying to force the Bush administration to bump up gas mileage requirements for SUVs and pickup trucks. Officials say the suit will contend the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration failed to conduct a thorough analysis of the environmental benefits of fuel economy regulations and the impact of gas consumption on climate change. The lawsuit is led by California and includes Connecticut, Maine, Massachusetts, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, Oregon, Rhode Island, and Vermont. The White House says Secret Service records may not reveal all of convicted lobbyist Jack Abramoff's contacts with Bush administration officials. The agency has agreed, according to a judge's order, to turn over White House visitor logs showing when Abramoff met officials and who he met. But White House spokesman Scott McClellan says he wouldn't view it as a complete historical record. He says he doesn't exactly know what the records will reveal. McClellan says Abramoff attended holiday receptions at the White House and some other meetings, but he says there might be other large events that Abramoff attended. New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin has unveiled a new evacuation strategy for New Orleans, eliminating shelters of last resort, as they were called, relying on buses and trains to get people out of the city in case of another big storm. The Superdome and the Convention Center were mobbed by thousands of Katrina evacuees who couldn't leave the city as the flood waters surged in. This new plan also provides for moving tourists out of the city, and it lets pet owners take their animals on buses or trains as long as they're in a cage or carrier. Mayor Nagin is facing a runoff election May 20th after criticism because they didn't move the city's most vulnerable residents before Katrina hit. Iraqi officials say 10 insurgents killed in a raid by coalition forces. Even as new attacks killed a U.S. soldier and 7 Iraqis, as of today, at least 2,407 members of the U.S. military have died since the beginning of the Iraq War in March 2003. That figure includes 7 military civilians. At least 1,893 died as a result of hostile action. A new study finds a lot of Americans, 18 to 24, don't know much about geography and don't really care. A poll for National Geographic finds fewer than 3 in 10 think it's important to know the locations of countries in the news. 6 in 10 couldn't find Iraq. 3 in 4 couldn't find Israel on a map. This is Air America Radio News.
Iraqi government represents a strategic opportunity for America and the whole world, for that matter.
Yeah, sure does, George. Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. It's about 7 past the hour. Malloy here on Air America Radio, back in Georgia. I want to say a big welcome. I missed this last night. Peter Werby filled in for me, and thanks to Peter and John Elliott last Thursday for filling in on this program. I do appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much. But on Monday, we welcomed a new member of the Air America Radio family. You know, Air America Radio Network, the network that's just absolutely going just right down the toilet. Another 2 days and we'll be out of business. Isn't that what everyone's saying? I love reading that crap. It just freaks me out to read it. These right-wingers just can't wait. Oh, my God, did you see their ratings? Things go up, things go down. I think Hannity has a 1.2 in L.A. I think Limbaugh has a 2.0 or something. I have no idea, but it's fun to read.
Was Limbaugh arrested today?
Again?
Is he in jail? Who's in jail today? It's hard to keep track.
I know, it's hard to keep track of him. Anyway, I had the most amazing, positive time in Sacramento. And didn't smoke anything, didn't eat any mushrooms. It was simply incredible. I'll get to that a bit later in the program. We have some moron sounds for you tonight from yesterday's third anniversary of Stuff a Sock on a Ship Day or Mission Accomplished Day, whichever you prefer, from Raisin Brain's Welcome of Condi and Rummy Back to America from Fantasyland that is Iraq. I don't know. It's crazed. It's crazy. It's unbelievable. But it happens every day. And we'll toss in a few pathetic clips from Simple Scotty today, who has an airline ticket and a copy of Manhole magazine burning in his coat pocket. So ready to get back home to me love you long time, Gannon and his family. He's just counting the days until the snowflake takes over. The snowflake. Regarding what occurred in California with the California Democratic Party convention, I just have two words: wow. And it was unbelievable to observe. You know, not being a Californian, not being a part of the progressive caucus of that state's Democratic Party, my function was to observe and to watch some of the most highly motivated people I've ever seen. Incredible. Thanks to a couple of folks at Democratic Underground who posted a really good play-by-play of what happened in the Crest Theater after hours when the impeachment forum was held. Willie T. and Omega Minimo, thanks to both of you. The play-by-play of that theater event that was posted at Democratic Underground was right on the money. I'll make this quick, but I do want to say it. I had a chance to meet some really, really nice people out there. Charlie Weiss, who is the program director. I don't know what the titles are anymore, but he runs the ship at AM 1320, the Sacramento station that carries Air America programming. And everyone I met at that radio station. Just what a group of people. Charlie's wife, Kathleen. Got interviewed by Ina Goldstein, one of the program hosts on 1320 AM. Lovely lady. Fighter. Everybody out there. I don't know. Maybe it's because I live in Georgia where there is a Democratic Party and it's totally in the hands of the grassroots people. Totally, completely. I know I get argument on this, but there is no effective Democratic Party structure, effective Democratic Party structure in the state of Georgia. Now, all you folks that are running for office on the Democratic ticket in Georgia, you can email me and bitch and raise hell and tell me I'm crazy, and there we go with the negativity again. And my answer to you is, stop. The Democratic Party lives in this state, but only because of people like Linda Edmonds and her group of Democratic volunteers, people who are struggling. There are more. Her name comes to mind because I've done a couple of gigs with her here in the Atlanta area. But in California, and that's what I want to focus on, California, just for a minute, if you don't live in California, the reason you need to listen to this is because they have provided a model. The Progressive Caucus of the Democratic Party in California. The Democratic Party in California has as much dead wood and as many useless politicians at the usually at the head of various tickets as any Democratic Party. And it needs to be burned away, and there are strong efforts being made by strong candidates to burn that dead wood away, whether it is the challenger to Jane Harmon or the challenger to Dianne Feinstein or the challengers to Schwarzenegger. It just goes on and on and on and on. But aside from the Democratic Party stuff in California, just hanging with these people, just hanging with the people who put this together was almost too much. Didn't want to come home. I did not want to come home. So I did, but, you know, because of McCarthy and Molly, and but the two women that I got to spend some time with, who have organized this, who have put this together, I don't know. I just don't know what to say, except to say every state should have people like this. Every state Democratic Party should have people like this. Joy Swan and Joe Olson, J-O, were, there's more. There are more people. But these are the two that I spent time with who ramrodded this thing into the Democratic Party, the Progressive Caucus. And what they wound up with, was, I don't know. They got into the California State Democratic Party platform. They got single-payer health care. They did. A resolution calling for the impeachment of Bush and Cheney. They did. And there's more. And I'll get to it a little bit later as the program evolves. On the little flyer that they put out regarding the impeachment dialogue, debate, and action that was held at the Crest Theater that night, Friday night, Saturday night. Was it Saturday? Yeah, Saturday night. There's a quote from Howard Zinn on the cover, and I want to share this with you real quick. Civil disobedience is not our problem. Our problem is civil obedience. Our problem is that people are obedient. All over the world, in the face of poverty and starvation and stupidity and war and cruelty, our problem is that people are obedient while the jails are full of petty thieves. And all the while, the grand thieves are running the country. That's our problem. And to say I agree with that would be a massive understatement. But anyway, to the Progressive Caucus in the state of California who invited me out there, moi, to be a part of that. Oh, my God. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. It was... It was a time to not just to remember, but it was a starting point. It was a real starting point for what could be the reclamation of the Democratic Party across the country. To actually be around Democrats, you know, we talk about First Amendment zones in this country now, designated by Bush. The entire country used to be a First Amendment zone. And I mentioned during my little couple of minutes on that stage that the Democratic Party used to be the Progressive Party. To have a Progressive Caucus within the Democratic Party speaks volumes about what has happened to the Democratic Party. But to the people who put this together and pulled it off and made it happen, you're just astonishing.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Ooh, are you okay?
Oh, it's my arthritis pain.
Here, try my Aleve.
People with arthritis are sharing their good news about Aleve. Just two Aleve have the strength to stop arthritis pain all day. That would take 8 extra strength Tylenol. So try Aleve and see for yourself. Then share your good news. Comparison based on 24-hour label dosing. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
May is Arthritis Month. Join Aleve and the Arthritis Foundation for the annual Arthritis Walk taking place nationwide. For more information, visit AleveGoodNews.com.
Do you want to know what's really going on in U.S. foreign and domestic policy? Then read Noam Chomsky's brilliant new book, Failed States. The New York Times calls Noam Chomsky a global phenomenon, perhaps the most widely read voice on foreign policy on the planet. Now, the best-selling author exposes our use of military force for what it is, a warning sign that America has become as dangerous as the failed states we claim we're trying to fix. Read Failed States by Noam Chomsky, new in hardcover from Metropolitan Books.
Up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. If you want some information on how to organize your state's Democratic Party into a progressive caucus, or to place within the Democratic Party a progressive caucus, or how to use the power of a progressive caucus within a state Democratic Party. I've got a website for you. And I'll give it to you in just a second. It is the one that is the California Democratic Party's Progressive Caucus. But they have their mission statement. And now just listen to this. This is what they believe in, the Progressive Caucus out there. And this is very simple. And tell me if this doesn't sound like what the Democratic Party itself is supposed to be. We believe that all people are entitled to equal rights and equal treatment under the law, and that no one shall be denied these rights because of gender, race, ethnic origin, sexual orientation, or religion. We believe in the separation of church and state. We believe in economic fairness and the right of every American to a job that pays a living wage. We believe that preemptive war is wrong, and that this country should seek solutions to international threats through diplomatic channels and the United Nations. We believe that every citizen is entitled to quality health care, and that single-payer universal health insurance is a right, not a privilege. We believe that the environment is a trust, and that we are responsible for preserving it for future generations. We believe in the public school system, and that every child should have an opportunity for free, quality education and a safe environment. We believe that the death penalty is wrong. And we believe, above all, in the Constitution of the United States and in the right of the people to self-government. That's the mission statement, I guess you could call it, of the Progressive Caucus. But doesn't that sound like the Democratic Party when you were a kid? I'm assuming you're over 45. You want some more information on this? Go to Progressive Caucus. CDP, that stands for California Democratic Party. Progressive Caucus, CDP.org. That's all. Progressive Caucus, CDP.org. Oh, and I also got to meet, while we were out there, I didn't mention this to their face, but after I met them, made me think of Oberon and Titania, the king and queen of the fairies from Midsummer Night's Dream. I got to meet them. They came out of the mountains someplace up north, and nobody did any drugs. The only drugs we did was some wine, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Drinking, I'm talking about some drinks at a party. But Titania, damn it, I'm getting it wrong, aren't I? Who's the queen of the fairies? Titania in Midsummer Night's Dream? Oberon was the king.
Jeff Gannon?
No, that's a different thing altogether. Oh, Jesus, it's good to be back. But the king and the queen of the fairies know who they are. You know who I'm talking about. All right. 36 U.S. House members have signed on as sponsors or co-sponsors of House Resolution 635, which would create a select committee to look into grounds for recommending Bush's impeachment. 36 members of the House and the Senate. Is your Democratic member of the House or the Senate among those 36? You can find out. And California, as we pointed out, has passed a resolution calling for the impeachment of Bush and Cheney. Just want to mention very quick the people on that panel that I got to moderate: Elizabeth de la Vega, former federal prosecutor; Bob Furtick, a lot of you know who he is, Democrats.com, among other things. He's one of the co-founders, Bob Furtick. Maxine Waters, you know her, congresswoman from L.A. area. Shayana Katidal, staff attorney for the Center of Constitutional Rights in New York City. And California Assemblyman Paul Koretz, the one who introduced the resolution of impeachment. And 1,000 people out in the audience were just absolutely amazing. Just amazing. Oh, my God. The energy was so thick in that theater. And it was a sold-out house. I stood out there. I got there about 7 o'clock, 6:30, and was talking to the people who had it totally rehabbed. It's a theater built around in the late 40s and, condemned and then brought back to life. Huge old movie palace theater place. I was talking to the woman who I believe was one of the owners. And she said, yeah, we hold about 950 people. When we started, I think we had 1,000 in there and people out on the street just wanting to get in to hear these folks and to share this moment with the Progressive Caucus of the California Democratic Party. That's all I'm going to say about it. Just thanks for the invitation. It was a wondrous, wondrous event.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. One of the best things about getting an 8-pound Orrick XL vacuum is what you don't get, namely, a cloud of dust in your face every time you turn it on or when you empty it, which means you won't get a house full of bacteria that travels on dust. Call 1-800-989-4200 for free literature or a free 30-day home trial. You'll breathe easier knowing it's an Orrick XL. 1-800-989-4200.
Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here. Are you as alarmed as I am by the assault on our freedoms by the religious right? An essential element of freedom is the right to choose or reject religious beliefs. And this is why I fully support the Freedom From Religion Foundation as it takes the lead in challenging the growing threat from the religious right in the United States. If you'd like further information on the dangers of living in a theocracy, please call 800-335-4021. 800-335-4021 or visit their website, ffrf.org.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 75,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals. Call right now and we'll also include for free the RX Saver discount prescription card. The RX Saver is accepted in most pharmacies nationwide and provides savings of up to 60% off most medications. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Use the Optimum Health discount card risk-free for 30 days and start saving now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
major combat operations in Iraq have ended. In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed.
Do you remember that? Since that day, May 1st, 2003, on the day he said that, we had, according to the stats that are out there on thinkprogress.org and a few other places, U.S. troops wounded on that day totaled 542. They now total close to 18,000. U.S. troops killed on that day were 139. They now total 2,400 plus. I can't get to that part of the program quite yet. We'll get to a little bit later because I get furious. I still do, even with a break like that. Even with the high energy provided by the California Progressive Caucus, even coming away from that thinking, by God, there is a way out of this. It is so easy to get so negative, and I certainly don't have an exclusive franchise on negativity, but I'll guarantee you there's an awful lot of it floating around my head sometimes. And it takes getting out of one's tight little environment like this one, and like the one that Kathy and I exist in to do this program, and finding out the extent to which people can really harness energy, the good kind, the kind that we tend to forget that exists, I guess, and unless you live in California, I know they don't forget it, and some other states. I don't mean to focus exclusively on them. I know that there are some ass-kicking organizations right now that are equivalent to the Democratic or the Progressive Caucus on the West Coast. I know there are. I just haven't been exposed to you. And I know you're out there, and I know you're doing this kind of stuff. And that's where the answer is. And if you can attend one of these forums, I'm sorry, if you can become involved in a progressive caucus within your Democratic Party, whether it's your state party, your county party, your city party, whatever it is, whatever that organization is, if there's not a progressive caucus, then organize one. That's what these people did. These are not politicians who put this together. These are folks who just said, that's enough. We can't stand it. We're going to do something about it. We're not waiting. And they did it. And I would encourage people to do that. It is not all over. We are not going to let go of this without a fight. This thing that Cosa Nostra, this thing of ours. La Cosa Nostra, this thing of ours. Eh? Capiche? La Cosa Nostra, which is the you know, I think I was talking to somebody out there about Fannie Lou Hamer. Way back in 1964, Freedom Democratic Party. Mississippi, Freedom Democratic Party. Fannie Lou Hamer was a sharecropper or her parents were. I think she was. We're talking 1964. Fannie Lou Hamer had the audacity to show up at the Democratic convention, nominating convention, back in the day when they nominated people to run for president at a convention. It wasn't this prepackaged slop that we have now. And Fannie Lou Hamer said, no! And she said it about that loud. The Mississippi Democratic Party is not all white. It will not be all white any longer. And she made her point. And she was admitted to the convention. And I remember that. I didn't know the significance of it. I was too young at the time. But I remember seeing that. And something about it stuck with me. Because here we are, 40 years later. 40 years later. 40 plus. And I remember that. Fannie Lou Hamer. So, what do you do for a living? Are you a sharecropper? No? You have an education? What color is your skin? When's the last time you really, really, really said, all right, Malloy's very entertaining, and these liberal talk show hosts are entertaining, and I can sit back here and bitch about the ugliness of it all. Or
you can go do something. And so can I. And I will. I plan on it. Absolutely. I have in front of me a picture from news.yahoo.com. It's a picture of House Speaker Republican Dennis Hastert getting out of a hydrogen-fueled automobile and sneaking around to get into his monstrous SUV after he was part of a news conference at a local gas station in Washington about a week ago, where there was a discussion about the recent rise in gas prices. Now, what happened was Hastert and other members of Congress drove off in the hydrogen-fueled cars, you know, for the photo op, went a few blocks, pulled over, and switched back to their official cars to drive back the few blocks to the U.S. Capitol. And here's the AP photo of this lumbering freak going from a little blue hydrogen car to this huge, gluttonous SUV. Oh, if I mention yet tonight how much I hate these people. Oh, my God. Now, the other big thing that just, it's the street demonstrations that just won't go away, right? Huh? There they are again, them immigrants. By God, they're out there on Monday, weren't they? Huh? I had a time getting from Sacramento to San Francisco to get on the plane, and all them immigrants out there holding up traffic and stuff. But aren't we all illegal immigrants? Really think about it. You know, this is, I know it's trite. I know it's very trite to say that, but it's true. You know, when Mexicans come across the border, or Central Americans or South Americans, and they come across the border and don't do it the right way, they're called illegal. And remember, a couple 300 years ago, how did the white folks get here? Huh? Cross the border by boat? Huh? Come storming up through Mexico? The Spanish conquistadors? And the Portuguese and the English, they swarm the country, huh? And the Native Americans? Native Americans who go, wait a minute. But the Europeans had, what was the cute little term? Thunder sticks and fire water. Noble red man want thunder stick, huh? Noble red man want, smallpox disease and blankets we're giving you? I just can't handle the attitude of Americans about these people who want to be new Americans. And I'm really making some bad enemies on the progressive, or at least on the left. I won't say the progressive left. But a lot of liberals who are just got their panties in an enormous wad about this issue. How can you say that, Malloy? You know, my parents, my grandparents, my great-grandparents were immigrants, too. But by God, they came through Ellis Island. They came the right way. And they came on a boat. You know, they didn't wade across the Atlantic. Oh, really? Oh, cool. They came on a boat, and they got the papers. Really? Oh, okay. Well, good for you. So I'm getting a lot of crap from the left about this issue. And I just I'm sorry. This is the United States of America, okay? This is started out Turtle Island, and a whole bunch of Europeans swarmed over here and said, "Hey, look here! Hey, what's this? The New World! Oh my God! Let's exploit it! Let's take over! What? Who are those people? Indians? Oh, isn't that funny? This isn't India. Let's kill them!" And now, 200, 300, 350, 400 years later, we've got the audacity to say to people that want to do essentially the same thing, but without the killing. You know, the Mexicans and the Guatemalans and the Hondurans and the Colombians are not coming across the border illegally to kill us and put us on reservations. They're coming here to work and be Americans. And yeah, we'd like to get our papers. Okay. Just don't make it impossible. Here we come. part of the reason we're coming is because what you sons of bitches did to our economy with your NAFTA and your FTAA and your GATT and your World Bank and your Henry Kissinger and all what you did to us going all the way back to the turn of the 20th century, all you evil bastards, and we're not coming up from the South to kill you. We're just coming up to get jobs. Now, please, please stop the nonsense. Oh, but man, I'm getting a lot of crap from liberals. Oh, I'm getting, that's why I have a hard time sometimes being a liberal. A lot of crap from liberals. How could you, Mike? You're advocating lawlessness, Mike. They're welcome here, Mike, if they get the papers. Do it right. Oh. Okay. You know what I say to that? I'm sorry. I, this is another one of those issues. It happens all the time with me. I'm going to wind up on my deathbed with two friends because everybody else would have said to hell with him. But you know what I say to attitude from my friends on the left? Kiss my ass, okay? Just kiss my ass on this immigration issue. I am sick of hearing the whining. I'm sick of hearing it. And as far as these Minuteman freaks... Another, all they are people who are doing the same thing the Klan did here in the South, but without the sheets. Go to hell. Go to hell. Go straight to hell. And as far as immigrants are concerned, legal or illegal, come on home.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Every day, Aleve helps millions of people overcome the pain of arthritis. In recognition of Arthritis Month, Aleve is bringing one of their stories every day.
I'm Phyllis Ocean, and this is my story. When I was diagnosed, my arthritis was in my knees. I started using Aleve. You don't know how good you feel until the pain is gone.
31 people, 31 stories, 31 days of good news. That's a daily dose.
Aleve works for me.
Watch for a new story each day on national TV and AleveGoodNews.com. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
Jen, what's up?
Hey, how'd you know I was having a party?
Everyone knows you're having a party.
Yeah, pretty crazy, isn't it?
Totally.
Hey, I'm going to smoke up. Want to get high? Here, you'll like this.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, The Anti-Drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America. We'll be right back.
by the immigration laws. We're saying welcome to America. Why don't you share information with us?
Okay, regarding that rant on immigrants that I just dumped into the airwaves, quick email here. Now we're going to do some phone calls tonight and sound bites and back to our reading in 1984 and later on the program. This is from Jason. Hi, Mike. Despite what you're about to read, I really am a liberal. Also, I've been listening to you for a couple of years, so I know you're going to shred me on this. But I want to throw my two cents in on it anyway. I can't get behind the protests that are happening today, and the reason I can't is both emotional and tribal. I was raised to believe that America was supposed to be the great melting pot. When you come here, you keep some of your past culture to add to the flavor of the country, but for the most part, you give up your culture and assimilate into this one. When I've seen footage of the protests, I see large groups of people waving flags from other nations. This is disturbing to me. The message this sends to me is that they want to take from this country without being part of this country. My wife and her family are first-generation Americans from Peru. Although I've seen them display the American flag, I've yet to see a Peruvian flag. They wanted nothing more than to be part of this tribe. If these immigrants, legal, illegal, or otherwise, want to be a part of this tribe, they should act like it. I know my view softens considerably when I see the protesters waving American flags. That's it in a nutshell. My argument may not make a whole lot of sense, but it's an emotional rather than a logical argument. Mike, I love your show, and even if you do rip me a new one for this email, take care, Jason in Long Beach. P.S. Before you bring it up, no, this isn't the same as Cinco de Mayo, St. Patrick's Day, or the Chinese New Year. The presentation of flags on those occasions are in celebration of particular cultures, not in protest. The difference may be splitting hairs, but it's significant to me. P.P.S. Why do you think these protests are getting so much news coverage when the protests before the war got almost none? Just a thought. Okay, well, there's a lot of stuff in here, Jason. I appreciate your writing, and you're right. Your argument is emotional. But that's cool. Everything I do on this program is emotional. But I think you're confusing nationhood, which is a false construct to begin with. I mean, who designs a nation? Who decides national boundaries? Who makes those decisions? They're usually made as a result of conquest or imperialism or war. Who makes decisions on what nations really are? So when you make the declaration that the nation, the United States of America, and its flag and everything is being disrespected because people are coming here from other countries and these huge protests, these huge demonstrations, and I don't think they're protests. I think they're demonstrations of solidarity with a very essential thing that you might be missing, Jason, and that is freedom. Doesn't you know, I am so sick, and I'm writing about this, I'm so sick of freedom isn't free. Yes, it is. Freedom isn't free. That slogan, some right-wing knuckle-dragging freak came up, freedom isn't free. Yes, it is. Everything else is what costs. Freedom is free. It's the essential part of everything. Freedom. There's no price on it. There's no price on freedom. What are we supposed, freedom isn't free. What the hell does that mean? Is that a slogan to get you to join the military? Is it a bumper sticker for freepers? Freedom isn't free. Yes, it is free. That's what makes it so precious, because freedom is free. I mean, the first part of the word, free, dumb, free, free. And for people to have to come here to experience it, that's great. That's wonderful. Okay, come on. What is the American culture? That's another thing, Jason. I know, I'm doing what you said I would do. I'm ripping you a new one. I'm sorry. But you say people that come here are supposed to give up their culture for the most part and assimilate into this one. What is American culture? What is it? Huh? Right. You can't answer because there is no such thing. There is no American culture. I defy you. What is it, our cuisine? Our style of architecture? Oh, yeah. Okay. Our language? That belongs in Europe, the dominant language. What is American culture? Hamburgers? Golden Arches? Chevy? What's American culture? Now, that stuff exists all over the world, too. What is American culture? What is it these people are supposed to assimilate into? No, what you haven't realized, Jason, is you've been assimilated. Repeat after me, taco. See what I mean? Huh? Repeat this after me. Kathy, quick. What's a Thai food?
Pad Thai.
Pad Thai. Repeat that after me, Jason. Repeat anything after me. It didn't originate here. The culture that did originate here, we have ruined, destroyed, ripped into a million pieces, and stuck out on reservations. So, Jason, I'm sorry. I love you, brother, but don't talk to me about American culture. The hypocrisy just leaps off your email. And I know you don't intend it. You're not trying to be a hypocrite. You're like most of us. You're like most of us, including me. Educated the wrong way. Lied to. Lied to from the moment you set foot in kindergarten, Jason. Just like me. Just like everybody in this country who's gone to public school. Lied to. Conned. BS'd. So if somebody can ever decide what is the American culture? What's the American culture? Guns? I don't know what. Lynchings? Huh? What? I don't know. What is it? Okay. Take care, Jason. We're about ready to take a break here. When we come back, your phone calls and a little bit about Mission Accomplished Day, the hypocritical son of a bitch standing up there, all these Bush people, oh my God. And got a website for you, dognews.com, from our old friend Mad Dog in Michigan. It's Dog News, N-O-O-Z, dognews.com. Check it out, Dog News, D-O-G-N-O-O-Z, dognews.com. Check it out, okay? We'll be back after the break. Stick around. Don't go away. We're going to have fun tonight. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
There are two kinds of bikers. There's the tough, hardcore biker like Smokey here.
Hey, bro.
And then there's the weekend rider like Jeff.
Hey, man.
These two bikers couldn't be more different, except for one thing. You both have Geico motorcycle insurance. Because Geico covers most kinds of motorcycles, and they offer money-saving discounts. So, you see, you guys, you have more in common than you thought.
Neat.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
The lies, incompetence, greed, and pure stupidity of the Bush crime family are all revealed in the game Impeached. Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Mike Malloy. And if you despise this crime family like I do, you need to visit ImpeachBushGame.com and buy the only board game that's bold enough to tell it like it is. Go to ImpeachBushGame.com, buy your game, and check out the Bush, Satan Rove, and Deadeye Dick Voodoo Dolls. I've got my game, and I'm sticking pins in my Bush Voodoo Doll right now! So visit ImpeachBushGame.com and join in on the fun today.
Air America Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. Dick Cheney is off on a six-day trip to parts of Europe and Asia. Administration officials say a visit to Lithuania and talks with leaders of the Baltic and Black Sea regions are the centerpiece of his trip. Cheney will also make an unusual high-level stop in Kazakhstan, and Cheney will touch down briefly in Croatia for a meeting with diplomats from Adriatic countries, which are hoping to get admission to NATO. Officials say Cheney's trip will advance the Bush administration freedom agenda. But energy issues, Iran's nuclear program, and concerns about Russian foreign policy are also expected to be part of his discussions on the trip. Experts are saying another hurricane strike in Florida could overwhelm the dike that is holding in the nation's second largest lake. A state-hired panel of engineers says the dike at Lake Okeechobee poses a grave and imminent danger of failing. Governor Jeb Bush says the report's finding of a 1 in 6 chance of failure is worrisome. He said he would talk over the findings today with the heads of Homeland Security and the Federal Emergency Management Agency. The lake is surrounded by a 143-mile dike built in the 1950s. A failure would likely cause widespread destruction in Florida and billions of dollars in damage. The report also says there would be irreversible harm to the Everglades, and South Florida's drinking water would be contaminated, Governor Bush saying FEMA doesn't need any more breaches, nor does the state of Florida. New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin says Amtrak trains and buses will move people out if another monster storm approaches New Orleans. Nagin says a new evacuation plan puts the emphasis on getting people out and eliminates any provision for what he called shelters of last resort. California leading the pack of 10 states suing for better gas mileage standards for SUVs and pickups. The suit contends that regulators did not make enough allowances for environmental and climate change fallout. Federal officials say their rigorous process for setting standards will hold up in court. A dismal sales report for the big three U.S. automakers. Sales at industry leader GM dropped 11%. Daimler, Chrysler, and Ford also sold fewer cars. And the co-author of a new study, everyone should be asking why the richest country in the world isn't the healthiest. New research in the Journal of the American Medical Association says white Americans are sicker than their English counterparts, even though they spend more on health care. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. About 7 past the hour. And there's one other thing about this immigration. There's a million things about the immigration issue, but there's one other central issue. And a couple of you picked up on it and sent me emails about this, not just tonight, but over the past a week or so. And that is no so-called illegal immigrant ever took a job away from an American. If a legal American, a legal North American, a legal citizen of the United States of America, where did those jobs go? Who has those jobs? They were outsourced by corporate America, who continues to cut our throats, continues to slide daggers into our backs, continues to pit worker against worker. This is the oldest trick in the book. It's the oldest trick in the book. They're here to take your jobs. Who is? The Negroes.
Oh, really?
Yes. They're here to take your jobs. Who is? The Italians.
They are?
Yes. They're here to take your jobs.
Who is?
The Polish.
Really?
Yes. They're here to take your job. You see, it goes on and on and on and on. And it forces whoever is here and has a job to do what the corporations say to protect your job. Well, look, we got to protect your job, so we're going to have to cut your pay. You know, otherwise we'll give it to that Negro. We'll give it to that Polish person. We'll give it to that Italian. We'll give it to that Jew. We'll give it to that Puerto Rican. They'll work for less. But it's a bogus issue. For God's sake, it's a bogus issue. Why do we always go for the bait? Always. I don't care what the wedge issue is. This time, and this, there's not enough time to invade Iran. Oh, he may still do it. The son of a bitch may send a couple of nuclear-tipped missiles there. Who knows? He may get the Israelis to do it. Nobody knows. But essentially, it's too late, and there's an election coming. They're after your job. Who is? The Mexicans! The Colombians! The Guatemalans, the Nicaraguans, the Hondurans, the Salvadorans, they're coming. No, no. You know who's after your job? The corporations who have already shipped it first to Central America and then to islands in the Pacific and then to China. You know where it's going after China? Then it's going to Malaysia. And then where? Eventually. You know, eventually it's going to get to Africa. That's right. Eventually, the people in the various countries in Africa will have a chance. Of course, by the time it gets there, what do you think the prevailing wage will be? 3 cents an hour and a handful of noodles? Jesus. But here we are. Here we are in this country. Here we are in this country. Just frothing and foaming at the mouth again. Here we go. Everybody from Lou Dobbs to Mike Malloy to you to him to her to, oh, look, here they come. Here they come. Here come the immigrant. Oh, my God. And then today, immigrant off day. Oh, my God. Didn't hurt us. Didn't hurt us. Didn't hurt us. Doesn't matter if the pool didn't get cleaned. Doesn't matter if the lettuce didn't get picked. Doesn't matter if the street didn't get sweeped. Doesn't matter if the toilet didn't get washed. Doesn't matter if the food didn't get carried to the table. Didn't matter. Didn't matter. Didn't matter. Didn't matter. Oh, come on. Well, it's I don't know. You know, the Eastern European Jews went through this. The Italians went through this. The Irish went through this. The I mean, it just goes and goes and goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. That's do you remember the gangs in New York? Remember that violent, vicious Scorsese film, The Gangs in New York? What do you think that was about? Huh? Even back in the middle of the 19th century, they were still fighting. I've been here. I've been here for 20 years. I'm native born. You're an immigrant. I'm going to kill your ass. Remember? Did you see the movie? You didn't see the movie? Go see the movie. What do you think The Gangs in New York is about? Oh, my God.
But here they go again. The bosses, the power. Jesus, I sound like a commie tonight, and frankly, I don't give a damn. But the corporate masters, the corporations, you don't need Karl Marx. You really don't need Karl Marx. You don't. You don't need to read anything by Marx. You don't need to understand Marxism. All you have to do is just look. Just take a look at what Reagan and Bush and Clinton and Bush have done. Just take a look. Take a look. By making this crap legal. And the Congresses that were in power when these four presidents were in power. Oh, he's attacking our baby Jesus, Bill Clinton, again. I'm going to turn off his damn program. I'm so sick of listening to him. I'm going to find me a liberal that won't pick on the baby Jesus, Bill Clinton. Grow up. Get real. And the high-tech jobs? All those nice young men and young women who are coming from South Asia, most notably India, who are coming to this country and being put to work in Silicon Valley, how much are they making? Are they getting stock options? Huh? No. How much are they making? Huh? With special immigration status. Ooh, special immigration status for our dusky brethren from India. Why? Because we're too stupid to graduate from our technical schools to programmers and engineers and scientists that we need. So let's bring Rajesh over. Let's bring him over. Now, the job pays $143,000 a year. Used to. Sanjay, we're going to pay you $40,000 a year. You'll be very happy with that, won't you? Oh, yes. It's either that or work in a telecenter in Mumbai. What do you want to do? You can answer the phone for our insurance companies in Mumbai, or you can come here on a special. You see the hypocrisy. Oh, for God's sake, stop bitching about people who want to come here from south of the border and work. Grow up. Grow up. Well, that's about all I have to say about that. Let me just play a soundbite that has to do with that from Scotty McClellan today. Was it today? Yeah. On the hypocrisy of Bush. Bush was speaking out against the national anthem sung in Spanish. It was Bush that requested the national anthem be sung in Spanish at his 2001 inaugural. You know, the first election that this son of a bitch stole. And he sung it himself during the campaign. Huh? Hypocrisy? Hypocrisy? Let's listen to a little back and forth with the reporter.
On Friday, the president firmly said he believes the national anthem should be sung in English. Kevin Phillips, the Republican analyst, wrote a book called American Dynasty. And in there, he claims that during the president's 2000 campaign, he did sing the Star Spangled Banner in Spanish at some Hispanic festivals, various campaign events. Are you aware that you recall that from the 2000 campaign?
No, I don't.
Do you think that would be counter to what the president laid out on Friday?
I don't recall that, and I'm not going to try to speculate on something I haven't looked into.
Good one. Oh, get out. I know you're just champing at the bit to get together with Jeffy, me love you long time, Gannon. But I'll tell you what, let me play a little tune for you, Scotty. Can we play a tune for Scotty? And a one, and a two, and a three.
Latinos, a la luz de la aurora, lo que tanto aclamamos, la noche al caer, sus estrellas, sus
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. Talk about Unsanitary. A leading consumer testing magazine warns, if you're sensitive to dust, avoid bagless vacuums or wear a dust mask. Imagine vacuuming your house wearing a dust mask? Friends, try my hypoallergenic 8-pound Auric XL free for 30 days. It's 99.99% dust-free. Call 1-800-989-4200.
1-800-989-4200. Nice shot!
Time out!
Basketball's fun, but I need a cold drink.
My mom's making rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ovaltine?
Let's go!
I guess the kids will be home soon. Let's make rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Come on! Sarah's mom's making...
rich chocolate Ovaltine.
All right!
My kids love Ovaltine's rich chocolate taste. And I love all those vitamins and minerals that you won't find in Nesquik powder.
Mom, we're back!
Who wants Ovaltine?
We do!
We better make more.
More Ovaltine, please!
Past the hour. Boy, I am getting some real racist emails from some people who are calling themselves liberals. I guess they're just freepers in disguise, but I mean some real crap, some really crappy crap about this immigrant thing. And I wish y'all would just stop. You know, it's not your issue. It's not my issue. It's the Republican Party's issue. And if you want to be a sucker and go for it, go for it. You know, I'm not going to go for it. Now, we started playing this in the way. I just want to hear a little bit more of this. This was Bush's song when he was doing his La Casa Blanca, What is it he called? What did he call his attorney general?
Tejano.
He's a Tejano. Man, he talks like this. And Bush is one of those uneducated freaks who believes that if you talk like this when you talk English, that you're really talking Espanol. And so if you talk like this, it means you are, how you say, fluent in Espanol. Let's play the song. Can you play the just a little bit of the song? No? Yes? I'm melting! Ah, don't make me listen to this! Don't make me listen to this! Well, I've heard that everybody in America has been playing this anyway, but, you know, Abby in Harborside, Maine writes in and says, "Hey, Mike, I always thought the Star Spangled Banner was written for Mexicans. Doesn't it start with Jose, can you see?" Oh, that's so old, Abby. That is so bad. Oh, the things we get pissed off about and get all upset about, huh? The things we just freak about. The things we just freak about. We're having the damage repaired on our house from the tree that fell. And if these guys are illegal immigrants, they're from, I don't know, they're from Middle Europe someplace. But we had people come out. We had, you know, the insurance company makes you get 40 estimates, and then the adjuster just, you know, stays drunk all the time and eventually says, "Oh, yeah, okay, go ahead." But the group that we finally hired are just, I don't know. Did you ask them their ethnic background, Kathy? Did you ask for their papers? Did you ask if they had green cards?
I'm sorry, they only spoke redneck.
They only speak redneck? Okay.
As in, what?
No.
You got something to wrap this thing up for me? This paintbrush? You got a little bucket or something? I got a skull box here, but it ain't quite big enough.
You're a real, I don't know if you're a racist or not, but you are definitely an elitist, aren't you, Kathy? Just because you grew up in Decatur, Georgia.
No.
You went to public high school, too. What the hell's wrong with you?
I just didn't have my, you know, Bob the Cable Guy to English Dictionary out or whatever the guy, or Jeff Foxworthy, you know. If Old Yeller is the name of your tooth, you might be a redneck. I mean, I don't know what to do, you know, if your house is on wheels and your car is not. I don't know what to do. Every last person, I couldn't understand five words any of them were saying. Can I come do your job?
I know. Kathy understands more Spanish than she does redneck. I understand.
I'd rather hire the illegals. At least,
you can talk with them.
I have some idea what they're saying. You got a pretty mouth.
Yeah, right.
Is that your daughter? She looks tasty. We ain't had no lunch today.
You better stop now if it just so happens that these people...
Yeah, they won't come back tomorrow. Yeah, because you know they listen to your show. You know these people listen to my... They're big Air America fans, all of them. Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right, now you got to stop. You really do. You really do have to stop, okay?
Okay, let me do a phone call here. Stephanie is calling from Madison, Wisconsin. Stephanie, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. I'm just sitting here laughing my head off at Kathy. You guys are just great. First of all is well with the world. Getting to hear Marge call in the other night was just like, oh, hey, she's, you know, everything's cool. You know, I really want to support you in I am so sick of this bat squeeze attitude towards the quote unquote illegal immigrants. I mean, people are so selective in terms of the laws they choose to call people on and the ones they choose not to. You know, you get the liberals who will, they'll smoke dope in any minute when, you know, smoking marijuana is not legal in most places, or doing cocaine or whatever. I can think of a whole lot of laws that people choose to break. And they're saying, you know, people, they're not, this is not the America of the 1900s or the 1800s. I mean, it's a different situation now. And to sum up my feelings is,
Stephanie, can you hold a second?
Sure.
I got a break.
I'll hang Mike.
All right, let me put you on hold. We'll be right back. This is Air America. I'm Mike Molloy.
Hombre insincero de una familia muy rica. Bush es un hombre insincero.
Es un enorme placer, estar en España.
Muy rica. Antes de que usted vuelva, quiero decirle que Bush ha vendido su alma. Gana dinero, Jorge Bush gana dinero. Gana dinero.
This is the Mike Molloy Show on Air America Radio.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement. And now we're trying to develop a civil rights movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. I was walking in the park and somebody stopped me and said, I'm tired of taping up the leaks in my old vacuum and then having to buy another one every 2 years. I'm going to buy an Orrick. Friends, why should manufacturers stop making throwaway vacuums when you keep buying them? For a vacuum that lasts and lasts, call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and try an 8-pound Oric XL risk-free for 30 days.
aftermath of successful welfare reform, we must turn to the problems of the working poor. These problems seem immune to our affluence.
Oh, you sick little punk.
Yeah, and let's not forget those Mexicans are bringing up all that $3.25 gasoline, a gallon gasoline from Mexico, aren't they? Huh? Isn't that the Mexicans' fault, too? They're taking our lawn mowing jobs. They're taking our... what other jobs are they taking? Jesus.
Well, I wish they'd come take my porch reconstruction job, but I should be so lucky.
Well, that's... Yeah, that's true. What an issue.
It's a wedge issue. Haven't we figured this out yet? Haven't we? And the immigrants in this country, mostly the brown ones. You don't see any Polish immigrants out there marching in. Well, I guess we don't. I take it back. In Chicago the other day, I did see a CNN snag this blonde-haired white kid who was Polish. But it's a brown skin assault from the South issue. And the Republican, you know, Karl Rove, whoever, let's do this now. We have an election coming. Let's do it now. Let's scare the Christ out of what's left of the middle class in America. They're coming to take your jobs. Ha ha, ho ho, hee hee. My God, it's... You know, you take a look at what happened, if you can believe what's on television, which I don't, but let's pretend. Can we all pretend? What was on television a couple of times about the busting of the Davis-Bacon Act, first thing they did to bust up the prevailing wage law after the hurricane hit, so that Halliburton and Kellogg Brown and Root and Kerry McGee and all these other companies could go in there and hire who?
Here they come, illegal immigrants. Oh, my Christ, look, busloads coming up from, oh, my God, look.
It's beautiful. It's perfect. The synchronicity is almost melodic, isn't it? Oh, back to Stephanie, who's calling from Madison. Sorry, Stephanie, I got ranty there.
That's okay. I'll kind of try to wrap mine up, just because I know there's other folks that want to get on, but... To summarize what I want to say is think of the world as one country and humankind is its citizens, you know. Mm-hmm. We're a lot more alike than we are different, even though we get some crazy cultural stuff. You know, think about like the rednecks and everything. We have our rednecks up here in Wisconsin too. This whole idea of, you know, these false boundaries. I mean, just think of how the United States was created. And also, too, people really have to realize that it really is the employers and to turn people against each other, because I had heard a story, I think it was on NPR, some folks were interviewed, and some people who were making like maybe $6.50, $7 an hour were let go in their hotel jobs, and they wanted these jobs, and then immigrants, you know, or illegal or Mexican people were hired for these jobs, and when they weren't supposed to talk to the people that had been let go, but when they talked, they were shocked at what these mm-hmm. you know, other folks had been making. These, you know, so people are really being taken advantage of, you know, and it's just plain sick, and it's ugly, and it's hateful. And we need to get, like you say, we need to grow up and get over it.
Well, I think so, and we being politically educated Americans need to be A, politically educated, and then B, start resisting this garbage.
You bet.
You know, I said a couple of weeks ago, when's the last time any of us saw a truckload of Mexicans barreling through the border, swooping down on the nearest factory, running inside, grabbing white people, beating the living hell out of them, throwing them out in the street, and immediately taking over their job as a drop forge operator? When's the last time we saw that? Let me think for a second. Mm-hmm. Right. Never. So, you know, the idea that the immigrants, legal or illegal, or upside down or sideways, are taking American jobs is nonsense. It's nonsense. Who's taking American jobs? American corporations. And they're taking them way far away. That's who's taking American jobs. So.
Well, you know, also, too, I mean, think of these horrible, you know, immigrants being put into cattle trucks and dying these horrible deaths, you know?
Yeah, so they can come over here and beat up white people and steal their jobs.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. You take advantage of it's just really ugly. We need to get people need to get their humanity back.
I hear you. Stephanie, thanks for checking in.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Let's talk with Ben, who has called in from Sacramento. Hey, Ben, welcome to the program. I've been in your city.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, yeah. Ben.
I went to the impeach forum just to say.
Oh, yeah? Did we talk? Did you come up? How old are you?
14.
Oh, okay. And we talked for a second?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Well, hi, Ben.
Hi. And I just want, like, how could all these people think about immigrants this way? They always think, they're thinking that immigrants are evil, of what I've heard anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just disgusting. Like, they say they're rushing into America. Well, yeah, but the swarming.
Ew, that's an ugly word.
Yeah.
I hate that word, swarming. It reminds me of termites or bees or something.
Or rednecks.
And I can't believe if the immigrants didn't come to America, mm-hmm. the American public wouldn't have donuts that they digest millions a year.
Well, bingo.
The Dutch mm-hmm. and the Taco Bell that is making tons of money because of the immigrants.
Of course, getting rid of Taco Bell might be a good thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying. And I understand what you're saying. It must be rough to be a young person like you and to see this going on. I mean, does it confuse you? Does it make you think, well, wait a second, the Statue of Liberty, Emma Lazarus's words, send me your poor, your tired, your huddled masses yearning to be free. Do they still teach that in school, Ben? Is that ever brought up?
Not really.
Not really? You know, the Statue of Liberty in New York Harbor? That's inscribed on the bottom, you know? Send me your tired, your poor. It doesn't say send me your affluent, your rich, your business owner, somebody's got 401ks. It says send me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, and here it comes. Yearning to be free. That's why people come here.
And how come all these politicians are just stereotyping the immigrants?
I don't know. The right-wingers, the Republicans are doing it because they are evil. They are demons from hell. They drink human blood. They eat human flesh. The liberals, the Democrats, I don't know, because they're political opportunists they have no wisdom or they like to whine. I don't know. You know, a lot of liberals like to whine, right, Ben?
Yeah.
Okay, well, don't listen to the whining.
I'm just going to be happy if the Democrats impeach Bush.
Yeah, well, me too.
Okay.
All right. Well, Ben, thanks for calling. Take care, okay?
Bye.
Bye-bye. Let me see here. Let's talk with Joe, who's called in from I don't know where. Hey, Joe, welcome to the program.
Hello. This is John Madison.
Oh, John in Madison. Okay.
How are you doing? Good to talk to you, Mike.
My pleasure.
I'm glad they chose this as their 2006 wedge issue because I really don't think it's going to work. Hispanics, there's been kind of a phenomenon of a growing Hispanic conservative base, and they're going to trash that. And it's just it's something that I think people are growing wise to, and that as progressives, every single time it comes up, and we should address it as just that it's just nothing but wedge trash and nothing more, and then we shouldn't address it.
I just go so sick of it. It's issue after issue after issue. And the mad genius of Karl Rove and some of these operatives deep, like Mary Matalin, some of these people deeply embedded and this Christo-fascist Republican party, and they come up with these issues going all the way back to Nixon, you know, the Southern strategy by Nixon, you know, scare the white people about the Negroes, scare the white people about this, and it's just so evil and rotten and filthy and putrid and decaying, and I just...
Simplistic.
Well, it's and, that, too. I just can't get over the fact that we are so stupid as a people, that the American people, that we are so damn politically ignorant, and that we go for this every time, just like a dog salivating every time we hear the bell go off. And I'm sick of seeing it. I'm sick of being part of it. Oh God.
And it's like you say, the corporations have taken the jobs. They're taking them farther away, but they want them to come back eventually. They want them to come back when they're 5 cents an hour jobs. And that's when they'll be happy. This kind of greed, I just can't understand. I try to understand it. I understand greed, but not this kind of greed. These are pigs.
I know.
These are the worst kind of pigs.
And
I hate them.
We've had Republicans, Democrats, military leaders throughout the history of this country, going back to Jefferson, warning us about corporate power, warning us about how destructive and negative and hateful and death-dealing it is. And here we are. We didn't listen. We didn't pay attention. We didn't listen to Jefferson. Didn't listen to Washington. Didn't listen to Lincoln. Didn't listen to Eisenhower. Didn't listen to Roosevelt. And it's just astonishing. And now we're gonna blame a bunch of Mexican workers who have come across the border for freedom to earn a living, freedom to make $3 an hour. For Christ's sake, I get so tired of it, I could scream. Thanks for the call. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
The first automaker to introduce factory-installed safety belts and roll stability control. First to introduce emergency trunk releases and offer head and chest side airbags. And who was working on future safety innovations like lane departure warning and blind spot alert systems? It's Ford Motor Company. Ford engineers are working to help protect children, keep families safer, and save lives. Ford, driving American innovation.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4-K-9-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. Made possible by Search Dog USA.
your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
10 before the hour. Back to your phone calls here in a second. Got an email from the witch. I certainly have an abundance of Wiccans who listen, and thank God for it, or thank Goddess for it. The witch writes, Mike, I've never written you before, but had to write after you said freedom is free. This is something I've been thinking for a long time. The folks who created our country wrote that all men, not all Americans, for America didn't exist back then, but all human beings were endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. This means that no human being can take them away because they are given to every human by God, whichever one you believe in. What are those rights? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So, to tell humanitarian organizations they shouldn't feed the hungry immigrant by the roadside, that's denying that person's right to life. To make it a felony to cross a border in order to feed your family, that's denying a God-given right to liberty. And to direct hate and fear toward people who have done you no wrong, that's denying them the pursuit of happiness. Those who would do these things to immigrants are denying the rights laid out in the Declaration of Independence. Freedom is free. God gives it. That's the whole point of inalienable rights. Why don't these people stand with the God they so revere or the founding fathers they so venerate? Signed, The Witch. Okay, aside from the God references, and I agree. I just part with the writer on that particular issue. I think it's just a given, not that it is given, but it's a given that freedom is free, and slavery is what costs an arm and a leg, and domination and dominionism and capturing your mind and capturing your body and forcing you to go kill other human beings and forcing you to believe a certain way, or you'll be condemned to everlasting hellfires and scorpions and snakes eating your body while you live for all eternity in agony. You know, that's the stuff that comes with a price. Freedom is absolutely, utterly, totally, completely not for sale, i.e. it's free. All you have to do is step up and take it. Thanks to the witch. Brother Sky Blue is calling from Memphis, Tennessee. Brother Sky, welcome to the program.
Mike, you say, what is American culture? American culture is sex, drugs, and rock and roll. We got a 3-day festival starting Friday here on the banks of the Mississippi River. Jerry Lee Lewis, B.B. King. You know, I used to go across the border to Matamoros, even down to Acapulco since the 70s on drug and, well, and, you know, drug vacations. I'd go down there and buy cheap, good, great marijuana, Acapulco gold, and good coffee, and I'd spend a few weeks down there in the winter. They used to have a sign up when you go into Mexico, no long hairs allowed. You know, there's religious undercurrents to this immigration thing, Mike. Talk about free. God said, behold, the first thing God gave man on the first page of the Bible, he said, behold, I give you every green herb bearing seed. The president of Bolivia, this Evo Morales, you see, he wants to he's legalized growing a cocaine tree. And Mexico's, they want to legalize small amounts of marijuana and heroin and crack. You see, it's the only way. There's undercurrent, this immigration thing and this war on drugs. Somebody called the Jerry Springer Show. He said, I'm a Swedenborgian. We believe that life begins at birth with the breath of life in the nostrils. And somebody called Jerry Springer said they should make these illegal immigrants have forced vasectomies and tubular lactations and teach them birth control.
Oh, my God. What does Emanuel Swedenborg say about this?
Well, but you know, Don Imus, he's the one who had Mark Maron fired from Morning Sedition because he was hurting his ratings on MSNBC. Because yeah. Mark Maron was a heavy dude talking about Sammy the Stem Cell, making fun of these fundamentalist Christians and these Catholics. You have to think more about fetuses than do about live human beings.
Yeah.
Yeah, well. I enjoyed your programming from California. I know you enjoyed the trip out there. It's a beautiful country.
I had a good time, Brother Scott.
Okay, Mike. See you on the river.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, all my fans recognize me because I drive a 24-volt electric motor scooter all around Beale Street and downtown Memphis by the river. They can see me. Everybody else paying $3 for a gallon of gasoline. I charge up and ride all day long for free.
Okay. All right, Brother Sky. That's the longest conversation I've ever. It's a record. The phone didn't cut out. He actually said, okay, nice talking to you. We had like a goodbye, like two normal people. Well, not quite like that, but.
Well, he's learned a page from our illustrious president. He's charged up his batteries.
Is that what he did?
He drives all over town on his motor scooter, and apparently he's conserving energy. He's got one of them fancy hydrogen automobiles or something.
Well, good to hear from you, Brother Sky. He's our only Emanuel Swedenborg disciple that calls this program. So
probably knows a lot about corn, too.
Yeah, I bet he does.
Switchgrass.
Switchgrass and wood chips and stuff. Oops, there's the music. All right, we'll take a break and come back and continue with the fun and frivolity tonight. Your phone calls, a couple more sound bites. We want to try to weave into the tapestry of tonight's program. And also, we are beginning near the end of Orwell's 1984. We are on Chapter 21, or if you're doing it the other way, Part 3, Chapter 3. And so we've got that, and a juggling act is coming in, and we also have a lion tamer. So stick around. What? Some strippers tonight? All right. Stick around.
Those are teachers.
We have a full card for you. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
My name's Tyler. And in 9 years, I'll be an alcoholic. I'll start drinking in middle school, just at parties. But my parents won't start talking to me about it till high school.
Kids who drink before age 15 are 5 times more likely to have alcohol problems when they're adults.
Thing is, my parents won't even see it coming.
So start talking before they start drinking. To learn more, go to StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council, and this station.
Time furnished by the Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Some of the best minds in the automotive industry, using some of the most sophisticated design facilities. Engineers from Ford Motor Company are working together on a common mission, creating safer cars for our families and our children. Ford is renewing its commitment to driving American innovation. At the core of that effort is your safety, because every single life saved is worth it. Ford, driving American innovation.
Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser. President Bush's job approval rating among Americans has fallen to a new low. A new Gallup poll shows only 34% of U.S. voters approve of the job the president is doing. Bush currently has the fifth lowest job approval rating of any president since World War II. Pollster Frank Newport says a lot is at stake.
the bottom line is that both President Bush and the Republican Party are in trouble in the eyes of the average American, and the way that that can manifest itself is at election time.
The survey comes 6 months ahead of midterm elections in which the Republican Party is trailing opposition Democrats by 15 points. According to the U.S. military, more than 100 insurgents have been killed in the Iraqi city of Ramadi in the past week. Ramadi has long been an insurgent stronghold, as has the neighboring city of Fallujah. But recent U.S.-Iraqi operations have proved increasingly successful. Owen Fay reports.
Over the course of the past week, the U.S. says over 100 insurgents have been killed against just two Iraqi soldiers and no American casualties. Eyewitnesses in the area confirm heavy clashes throughout the week, but have not been able to independently confirm the U.S. military numbers. Ramadi is located in Iraq's Al Anbar province, one of the most dangerous in the entire country. However, despite the numbers released by the U.S. military, a spokesman for the Iraqi Defense Ministry said he was unaware of any major military action in the past few days. Not only could he not confirm any significant military engagement, he claimed the security situation in Ramadi has been good for some time. Owen Fay reporting.
Family members of the miners killed in the Sago mine tragedy confronted the mine's owners Tuesday, calling on them to find out what caused the tragedy and to improve safety measures. Many of the family members wore white T-shirts with crosses and the names of the dead miners. The disaster in January trapped 13 coal miners in a life-and-death struggle underground. 12 died of carbon monoxide poisoning, and the sole survivor, Randall McCloy, suffered brain damage. San Francisco Giants outfielder Barry Bonds has hit his 712th career home run. He's now just two homers behind Babe Ruth for second on the all-time list. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back. 6:30 past the hour. Again, a big Air America welcome to Little Rock, Arkansas. Hey, our Arkansas Bureau Chief, Joyce, I hope she can get this station. She has been listening on the Internet for, what, 10 years to this program? 1380 KDXZ AM in Little Rock. Welcome. I just wonder how this program's going over there tonight. Oh, my God. A couple quick emails from Bill. Thank you for pointing the finger to the heart of the problem, the corporations. This is about the immigration thing. First, they ship our jobs out of the country. Then they pay a lower and lower wage to the jobs that are left. So there's nothing left but to have people turning on each other. We should be directing our anger where it belongs, the corporations that are destroying not only our country but every country that they set up shop in. What is needed is going back to the vision of our founders. We need to strip the corporations of their charters and remember that corporations were meant to help a country grow, not destroy it. We need to take back not only our country but all countries from corporate control. Yeah, you know, everybody wants a job. A responsible corporate activity is possible. There are a lot of green corporations that operate within the framework of the law, within the framework of decency, justice, and most notably, they act legally and responsibly. But this is from Reg. Mike, when it's politically expedient, select immigrant groups have often been given special dispensation to enter the country at the head of the line and have been given enormous benefits that even native-born Americans cannot get. Case in point are the Hungarians, who were brought here by the tens of thousands after the uprising against communist rule, and, of course, the millions of Russian Jews who were brought to the U.S. since the early 80s because they had politically connected benefactors. These immigrants get housing subsidies, food stamps, Medicaid, and employment opportunities to help them over the critical time of adjustment. No problem. The U.S. should be a haven for the oppressed, and often is. But this practice is carefully focused on groups who are, quote, acceptable, close quote, to the masses of ignorant Americans because of their lighter skin color or influential backers. But the hostility today is not about immigrants, but about specific ethnic groups who are easy targets for the racism that is so rampant in this country. This is a way to rail against Hispanics and make it sound legitimate. What people should be fighting is the exploitation of people who are so desperate that they are willing to work for meager salaries under terrible working conditions. That is the shame of undocumented labor, not the desire of these people to become citizens of this country. Bottom line is that all this is a diversion from the reality that there is still an illegal war being waged by this government and there are still people dying because of our evil leaders. This is so much more distracting an issue than torture or NSA spying or Valerie Plame or the unbelievable cuts in the proposed budget. The media are having a ball with this, and all else is insignificant. And Guillermo in Miami writes, Mike, besides the general agreement on trade and tariff and the NAFTAs, we need to also point out the contributions to the immigrant issue made by Nixon, Reagan, and Poppy Bush for starting up all these civil wars in Central America that created many refugees that migrated to the United States. Many civil war refugees now, Nicaraguans, Colombians, Hondurans, Guatemalans, that reside here in Miami. Yeah, that was the other issue. I mean, back in the mid-80s, I mean, any place that the United States has stomped its imperialistic, militaristic foot and demanded access to the banana plantations or the rubber plantations or cheap labor, whatever the hell it is. Any place we've gone where we disrupt society, overthrow governments, destabilize entire cultures, and then the people come here. I've never been able to figure that out. Southeast Asia, you want a better example than Vietnam? We cause it. We destabilize. Not you and me. Hell no. Not America. We don't do any of that. The corporations, the fascists that run the government, the fascists that have been trying to run the government for the past 150 years. Corporate America is not a human being. It is run by human beings, but it shreds and destroys and eats alive. It wants to be fed live humans. babies, women, men, it doesn't matter, soldiers, workers, plantation workers, cane cutters, factory workers, car makers, textile workers, just let me eat them, the corporation says. I devour them. But we're going to sit around and get our red, white, and blue bloomers in a wad because a million people take to the streets and say, we are not illegal. And I wish I were diplomatic enough to explain to people who write emails to me about how the immigrants are taking our jobs because they'll work for low wages, how you must be out of your freaking mind to believe that statement. The workers are taking the jobs for lower wages because the bosses reduce the wages. I've said it 1,000 times. What the hell is wrong with you? When's the last time a gang of Mexicans or Colombians or Nicaraguans rushed into a factory in Detroit with guns drawn and said to the bosses, hire us for $4 an hour less than what you're paying these white guys? Jesus Christ, don't you understand that? They are taking jobs that Americans can't afford to take because we have credit cards and house payments and kids in school and mamas die and medical bills and on and on and on and on and on. And corporate America understands that. So they don't pay $14 an hour. They pay $4 an hour. So who's going to take the job? Are you going to take it? No. But you'll sit back on your ass and bitch about the Mexicans who are coming in here taking all the jobs. When it's not you, it's not the Mexican, it's the boss, it's the corporation who sits there and goes, ha 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 ha, you dumb bastards, got you again. And again, and again, and again, and again. Why are we so stupid? Why are we so ignorant? Why do we continue to let this happen? Why? Over and over and over and over and over again. Why? Somebody send me an email here about all the kids that have some kind of, what is that, cholera or typhus or some ugly disease down in Central Florida, all these immigrant kids. Why, hell yes! They're smashed together like subhumans. There's no medical care available. I get so sick of it. I get so sick of it. You know, look at my kid, my littlest kid. You know, look at this 2-year-old kid. Molly, you know, and I just want, you know, if I couldn't provide for her, which is a parent's responsibility, if I couldn't provide for her and I had to leave this country to provide for her, to feed her, to put shoes on her feet, to pay for her education, whatever, you know, I couldn't provide in this country and I went someplace else and I took her with me. And some son of a bitch called my little girl illegal. Illegal. That because my little girl was not from whatever country I went to, that somehow she's less. You know, her heart is different from a heart beating inside the rib cage of the native-born person in whose country I've just come to try to feed my child. Try to buy her a doll or a book. You people are busting me tonight with your emails about this issue. Can't you turn it around like that? Can't you just, I mean, what if you went to another country because you had to go to that country because of situations way beyond your control? Maybe the country you've gone to has come to your country and destabilized and overthrown, and the corporations and have done this and done that, and there's nothing left, and your government is corrupt and full of graft because the American government supports that graft and corruption because they know they will always have a supply, an endless supply of cheap labor. But here you are, and you have a 2-year-old little girl, and she gets sick, and what the hell are you going to do? You evil, cold-hearted son of a bitch, and you're going to send me an email telling me that these people are less than me? That this little girl is less than mine, or that my little girl is less than theirs? We'll be right back.
Tree-hugging, love-making, pro-choice and gay wedding, widespread digging hippies like me. Skin color blinded, conspiracy minded, protesters of corporate greed. We who have nothing.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
There are two kinds of bikers. There's the tough, hardcore biker, like Smokey here.
Hey, bro.
And then there's the weekend rider, like Jeff.
Hey, man.
These two bikers couldn't be more different, except for one thing. You both have GEICO motorcycle insurance. Because GEICO covers most kinds of motorcycles, and they offer money-saving discounts. So, you see, you guys, you have more in common than you thought.
Neat.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. GEICO Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
When I do it, I feel the blood rushing through me. And I keep going back for more.
Carmen Castillo is under the influence of Dana, her volunteer trainer.
Tuck your chain, Carmen.
By spending just one day a week with kids like Carmen, Dana helps them develop interests that keep them away from drugs. Be a coach, a mentor, a volunteer, because you have something to offer. Log on to helpyourcommunity.org or call 877-KIDS-313. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
Time furnished by the Office of National Drug Control Policy.
major combat operations in Iraq have ended. In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed.
Oh, my God, that's so Winston Churchill. Oh, I just get a rush. I could smell the cigar. I could see the bowler hat, the rolled umbrella. Oh, my God. Oh, George, make me hurt. Bunny pants today. No, this is from yesterday. On the recent visit to Iraq over the weekend by Rice and Rumsfeld. And did you talk about the Mopsy twins? Oh, my God. Condoleezza Rice just all bubbly. That, you know, that typical class valedictorian shtick that she just can't drop. You know, the woman's in, what, her 40s? Hi. Oh, yes, we're here today to assimilate the detractions. And, you know, it's always been our policy to work. And there over in the corner is this sour old 70-something bastard Rumsfeld. I want to kill people. You know, sit down and shut up. Condi, sit down. Jesus Christ, I can't stand women. Oh, there are known knowns, Rice. There are unknown unknowns, but there are no unknown knowns that I can... God, I just... Boy, I'd like to put about an 88 caliber right up your dress, honey. Sit down and shut up! You know, there they are. The Fropsy Twins! Hi! I'm Condoleezza Rice, and we're here in Iraq today, and everything is just really, really, really groovy, as we used to say at Stanford. Aha! Hi, Mr. Zwahamaningi, or whatever your name is. I speak Russian. No, I don't speak. What is your talk? Your talk is gibberish. I don't speak gibberish, but I do speak Russian. You want to speak Russian with me? Oh, I long for the days when Russia was our enemy. Sit down. Shut up. I want to kill stuff. I want to nuke Iran. Shut up. So these two freaks come back. And they go to the Oval Office, or so we're led to believe. And they have a meeting with Chuckle Nuts. And then he says this.
I want to thank Secretary Rice and Secretary Rumsfeld. They came by the Oval Office to brief me on their recent trip to Iraq. And they brought back, interesting impressions from the three new leaders. They said they were optimistic people, that they're full of energy, and they're very eager to succeed, and that's really important for the American people to know.
Oh, thank you, George. Oh, Christ, I've been, that really is important for me as an American people to know. Oh, they're full of energy. Who? They're very eager to succeed. Who is? Succeed at what? Oh, my God. Is he talking about the leaders we put in there, like the other ones, and the ones before that, and the ones before that? Bush sounds, when he makes those kind of statements, it sounds like he's picking his teeth. It sounds like he just came from lunch, just had a pastrami sandwich, just sat there with his Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice. Oh, everything is wonderful over there. We understand that we have a long way to go. But you know what? It's always been the policy of this government to go. And then he said, continuing in the same mad kind of mad hatter through the rabbit hole of a white rabbit Jefferson airplane kind of weird, here, smoke some of this little Joe attitude. You know, he just keeps going.
A new Iraqi government represents a strategic opportunity for America and the whole world, for that matter.
Oh, yeah, okay.
This nation of ours and our coalition partners are going to work with the new leadership to strengthen our mutual efforts to achieve success.
Yeah, oh, cool.
Victory in this war on terror.
Oh, yeah, man. Victory in the war on terror. All right, yeah. I don't want a defeat in the war on terror. Christ, no. Have you got anything else to say tonight, George? Jesus, God. You know, the best role Brad Pitt ever had was one of his early roles when he had a little tiny bit part in True Romance. And he plays the part of the roommate of the guy who gets the gig on the TV series. Well, you remember. And the Sopranos show up at his house. And he's sitting there. Oh, my God. It's, you know, it's so ironic, the two statements from Raisin Brain on the third anniversary of his Mission Accomplished dress-up drag codpiece fest, huh? I, you know, I've often thought after the Abu Ghraib photos were discovered, tons of them, the homoerotic, not that there's anything wrong with that, except when you're dealing with prisoners, and it's not quite fair. If these guys want to get naked with men and roll around in the dog doo-doo, fine! But at least make it a, you know, like, let's everybody get into this. Not because they're prisoners, but they should have printed up a new banner. Rendition accomplished.
I got infrared, I got GPS, I got that good old-fashioned list. No price too high for freedom, so be careful where you tread.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
Okay, class, let's get back to vocabulary. Who can use the word rich in a sentence? Allison?
I like the rich colors of autumn leaves.
Very good. Kenny?
Rich chocolate Ovaltine rocks!
Okay, Kenny, try another one.
Ovaltine has a rich chocolatey taste. It's rich in nutrition, and it's richer in vitamins and minerals than Nesquik powder.
I get the point, Kenny. You love your Ovaltine, but...
That's rich chocolate Ovaltine, Mrs. McGee.
Got it.
More Ovaltine, please!
Ooh, are you okay?
Oh, it's my arthritis pain.
Here. Try my Aleve.
People with arthritis are sharing their good news about Aleve. Just two Aleve have the strength to stop arthritis pain all day. That would take 8 extra strength Tylenol. So try Aleve and see for yourself. Then share your good news. Comparison based on 24-hour label dosing. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
May is Arthritis Month. Join Aleve and the Arthritis Foundation for the annual Arthritis Walk taking place nationwide. For more information, visit AleveGoodNews.com.
We'll be right back. 26 before the hour last week when we left off. We had finished part three, chapter two. Winston has been tortured for perhaps weeks on end now, and finally O'Brien granted him three questions, and he asked the questions: is the party real? Does Big Brother exist? What's in room 101? Well, he's not yet going to discover what's in room 101, although O'Brien told him, you've always known what's in room 101, Winston. So we are now entering part three, chapter three, where the torture, the remaking of Winston Smith continues. There are three stages in your reintegration, said O'Brien. There is learning, there is understanding, and there is acceptance. It is time for you to enter upon the second stage. As always, Winston was lying flat on his back, but of late his bonds were looser. They still held him to the bed, but he could move his knees a little and could turn his head from side to side and raise his arms from the elbow. The dial also had grown to be less of a terror. He could evade its pangs if he was quick-witted enough. It was chiefly when he showed stupidity that O'Brien pulled the lever. Sometimes they got through a whole session without use of the dial. He could not remember how many sessions there had been. The whole process seemed to stretch out over a long and definite time, weeks possibly, and the intervals between the sessions might sometimes have been days, sometimes only an hour or two. As you lie there, said O'Brien, you have often wondered, you have even asked me, why the Ministry of Love should expend so much time and trouble on you. And when you were free, you were puzzled by what was essentially the same question. You could grasp the mechanics of the society you lived in, but not its underlying motives. Do you remember writing in your diary, quote, I understand how, I do not understand why? It was when you thought about why that you doubted your own sanity. You have read the book, Goldstein's book, or parts of it at least. Did it tell you anything that you did not know already? You have read it, said Winston. I wrote it. That is to say, I collaborated in writing it. No book is produced individually, as you know. Is it true what it says? A description, yes. The program it sets forth is nonsense. The secret accumulation of knowledge, a gradual spread of enlightenment, ultimately a proletarian rebellion, the overthrow of the party. You foresaw yourself that that was what it would say. It's all nonsense. The proletarians will never revolt. Not in 1,000 years or 1,000,000. They cannot. I do not have to tell you the reason. You know it already. If you have ever cherished any dreams of violent insurrection, you must abandon them. There is no way in which the party can be overthrown. The rule of the party is forever. Make that the starting point of your thoughts. He came closer to the bed. Forever, he repeated. And now let us get back to the question of how and why. You understand well enough how the party maintains itself in power. Let me tell you why we cling to power. What is our motive? Why should we want power? Go on. Speak, he added as Winston remained silent. Nevertheless, Winston did not speak for another moment or two. A feeling of weariness had overwhelmed him. The faint, mad gleam of enthusiasm had come back into O'Brien's face. He knew in advance what O'Brien would say, that the party did not seek power for its own ends, but only for the good of the majority, that it sought power because men in the mass were frail, cowardly creatures who could not endure liberty or face the truth, and must be ruled over and systematically deceived by others who were stronger than themselves. That the choice for mankind lay between freedom and happiness, and that for the great bulk of mankind, happiness was better. That the party was the eternal guardian of the weak, a dedicated sect, doing evil that good might come, sacrificing its own happiness to that of others. The terrible thing, thought Winston, the terrible thing was that when O'Brien said this, he would believe it. You could see it in his face. O'Brien knew everything. 1,000 times better than Winston, he knew what the world was really like. in what degradation the mass of human beings lived and by what lies and barbarities the party kept them there. He had understood it all, weighed it all, and it made no difference. All was justified by the ultimate purpose. What can you do, thought Winston, against the lunatic who is more intelligent than yourself, who gives your arguments a fair hearing and then simply persists in his lunacy? You are ruling over us for our own good, he said feebly. You believe that human beings are not fit to govern themselves, and therefore... He started and almost cried out. A pang of pain shot through his body. O'Brien had pushed the lever of the dial up to 35. That was stupid, Winston, stupid, he said. You should know better than to say a thing like that. He pulled the lever back and continued. Now I will tell you the answer to my question. It is this. The party seeks power entirely for its own sake. We are not interested in the good of others. We are interested solely in power, not wealth or luxury or long life or happiness, only power, pure power. What pure power means, you will understand presently. We are different from all the oligarchies of the past in that we know what we are doing. All the others, even those who resembled ourselves, were cowards and hypocrites. The German Nazis and the Russian communists came very close to us in their methods, but they never had the courage to recognize their own motives. They pretended, perhaps they even believed, that they had seized power unwillingly and for a limited time, and that just around the corner there lay a paradise where human beings would be free and equal. We are not like that. We know that no one ever seizes power with the intention of relinquishing it. Power is not a means. It is an end. One does not establish a dictatorship in order to safeguard a revolution. One makes the revolution in order to establish the dictatorship. The object of persecution is persecution. The object of torture is torture. The object of power is power. Now, do you begin to understand me? Winston was struck, as he had been struck before, by the tiredness of O'Brien's face. It was strong and fleshy and brutal. It was full of intelligence and a sort of controlled passion before which he felt himself helpless, but it was tired. There were pouches under the eyes. The skin sagged from the cheekbones. O'Brien leaned over him, deliberately bringing the worn face nearer. You are thinking, he said, that my face is old and tired. You are thinking that I talk of power, and yet I am not even able to prevent the decay of my own body. Can you not understand, Winston, that the individual is only a cell? The weariness of the cell is the vigor of the organism. Do you die when you cut your fingernails? He turned away from the bed and began strolling up and down again, one hand in his pocket. We are the priests of power, he said. God is power, but at present power is only a word so far as you are concerned. It is time for you to gather some idea of what power means. The first thing you must realize is that power is collective. The individual only has power insofar as he ceases to be an individual. You know the party slogan, freedom is slavery. Has it ever occurred to you that it is reversible? Slavery is freedom. Alone, free, the human being is always defeated. It must be so because every human being is doomed to die, which is the greatest of all failures. But if he can make complete, utter submission, if he can escape from his identity, if he can merge himself in the party so that he is the party, then he is all-powerful and immortal. The second thing for you to realize is that power is power over human beings, over the body, but above all, over the mind. Power over matter, external reality as you would call it, is not important. Already our control over matter is absolute. For a moment, Winston ignored the dial. He made a violent effort to raise himself into a sitting position and merely succeeded in wrenching his body painfully. But how can you control matter? he burst out. You don't even control the climate or the law of gravity, and there are disease, pain, death. O'Brien silenced him by a movement of his hand. We control matter because we control the mind. Reality is inside the skull. You will learn by degrees, Winston. There is nothing that we could not do. Invisibility, levitation, anything. I could float off this floor like a soap bubble if I wish to. I do not wish to because the party does not wish it. You must get rid of those 19th century ideas about the laws of nature. We make the laws of nature. But you do not. You're not even masters of this planet. What about Eurasia and East Asia? You've not conquered them yet. Unimportant. We shall conquer them when it suits us. And if we did not, what difference would it make? We can shut them out of existence. Oceania is the world.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4-K-9-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. Made possible by Search Dog USA.
Hey, truth seekers, the Republican fools put an idiot in the White House. Bush's war machine is bankrupting our country, and middle-class America is screwed again. Hi, I'm Mike Malloy, and it's time Bush and his cronies get what they deserve, and you can be the one to make it happen. Go to ImpeachBushGame.com. That's ImpeachBushGame.com, and get your revenge by sending a conservative criminal to federal prison or to the Iraq War. Impeached doesn't pull any punches, folks. And if you haven't ordered your game yet, go to ImpeachBushGame.com and do it today.
investigated every single complaint against the detainees and the allegations by people who were held in detention, people who hate America, people that had been trained to disassemble. That means not tell the truth.
Oh, thanks, George. You mean you, Rice, Rumsfeld, Cheney. Damn near everybody in your cabinet, right? You all hate America. Thanks to our New York crew, the program was engineered in the home office by Justin Yuen and Jason Isaac. Eddie Morgan screened your calls tonight. Eddie Morgan is new, Kathy? Eddie Morgan is not new. Eddie Morgan, the engineer. Big Eddie. Oh, Big Eddie. Oh, Big Eddie. Hi, Big Eddie. My bad. Our usual associate producer, D, apparently is a little under the weather. Also to our outside crew, Chris in Minnesota, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief, and again, a big Air America welcome to Air America, Arkansas, 1380 KDXE AM. Catherine Bay is the executive producer of this program. Okay, I'm going to leave a lot of people stranded again tonight, and I apologize. I really apologize. Joy is calling from somewhere in California. Joy, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. It's Joy from the Progressive Caucus.
Oh, the Joy I spent a wonderful weekend with.
That's the one, baby.
What?
Be quiet, Gaddy. Hi, Joy.
How are you?
Just fine.
Good. Well, I heard you were saying good stuff about us, so I figured I should call in and
Well, thanks so much. I hope you get a lot of hits at your website, because I've suggested tonight that Democratic parties, state Democratic parties around the country that might need a model, have one. In the sense of forming a progressive caucus, I don't know if that can be done here in Georgia or anywhere in the so-called Confederate South, but maybe so. So I just hope people go to your website and check out what you all have done.
Well, you know what they say, never underestimate the power of a small group of people to change the world. So I think it can be done anywhere, and, you know, we're here to help, and we're here to spread the word and get the action going. So, you know, we welcome any inquiries, and, you know, we look forward to actually in a couple of months we're going to be sponsoring a national progressive caucus convention of all progressive caucuses around the country.
Wow.
And try to get us all on the same page and talking the same talking points and
I'll tell you what, in those 3 or 4 days, y'all made a believer out of me, and it takes a lot to move a cynic like I am, a political cynic, I'm not generally a cynic, but a political cynic like me, from that point of rage and cynicism into a point of still rage, but optimism. And you folks did it, just hanging out there, watching what happened, understanding what happened behind the scenes, stuff I wasn't privy to, but stuff the results of which I saw that the Progressive Caucus forced the California Democratic Party to include in its platform. And plus all those candidates out there that I met, progressive Democrats who are running in primaries against establishment Democrats, the courage of these people to do this and the determination of the progressives to bring this Democratic Party back to its roots was just, I'll carry that with me for a long time, Joy. You folks are just amazing.
Well, you know, you're welcome back anytime, and, you know, it helps, because without people like you, we wouldn't be able to get the message out to as wide an audience, so... we thank you for bringing them in so that we could deliver our message.
Well, it was great fun, and I hope we all run across each other again, because you folks are a great group.
Well, I hope so too. Let's do it at the impeachment hearings.
Let's do it. Thank you, Joy.
All right, take care, Mike.
All right, you too. One of the founders of the California Progressive Democratic Caucus. This is how we started the program, and I hate to keep harping on this, but great group of people, absolutely. You want to get inspired? Hang out with a group like that. And I, you know, no offense to the people who are really busting their hump here in Georgia, trying to, from the grassroots up, trying to establish just a Democratic Party. To hell with the Progressive Caucus part, just a Democratic Party. So, you know, great respect to the people in here in Georgia who are doing that. And you know, I don't know yet about all the other states. But and I'm sure in some states there are a tremendous group of progressives who are working just as hard as these people in California. But if you need inspiration, and sometimes we do on this program, it's been so negative. We have come so close so many times to just walking away from this, because who needs this crap? If you can't discern any kind of I hate to use this phrase, light at the end of the tunnel, or hope over the horizon. Got any more cliches for me, Kathy? Or anything of that nature? If that doesn't exist, then what the hell is the point of the struggle? Really? Just to stand around and bash one's head up against a brick wall, after a while you get a headache and the wall gets covered with blood, and, you know, there's just no point.
I'm still stuck on the part where you spent the weekend with a model in California.
What? No, she's not a model. The Democratic Progressive Caucus is a model for... God. Yeah. Oh, man. Anyway...
You told me you were working.
I was working. Seriously, the idea of spending time, whether you can get there in person or just go to their website or talk to people within your state, got to do it. Got to do it. Can't just roll over and play, you know, dead. Can't. I've come close to that.
Roll over and play what?
Dead. I've come close to that, and I'm sure you folks have too. Just, I read the emails. I hear the phone calls. I get the letters, the snail mail stuff. It just seems like this huge, dark, smelly cloud that this Bush crime family has brought over this entire country. And there's definitely a way to fight this and defeat it. There is. And the words are progressive Democrats. Progressive Democrats. I'm not talking about corporate Democrats. Not ever. I'm talking about progressive Democrats. Do the research. Do the homework. Check it out. All right? We'll get through this. Thanks for participating tonight. I appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow night. Okay? Watch your back. Take care. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 75,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals. Call right now and we'll also include for free the RX Saver discount prescription card. The RX Saver is accepted in most pharmacies nationwide and provides savings of up to 60% off most medications. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Use the Optimum Health discount card risk-free for 30 days and start saving now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.